dun 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 dun. Caitlin, the podcast has started.
Really? I don't even have my ears on.
Oh no, what is this? How do we even podcast anymore?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast where Caitlin is ready.
Yeah.
All right, guys, today we're going to be talking about making. How did we start making? How can you start making? What are the common excuses that people have for not making right now, and how to get over them?
We asked our patrons to send in questions about getting started with making and roadblocks and things like that. So we'll answer some of those. And
Caitlin has a very exciting challenge game for me. Versus Pinterest.
Yes. We'll see how you do.
Pinterest trends and stuff. Like what is more popular than what and stuff. I'm going to be horrible.
Yeah, you're going to be.
Yeah, stay tuned for the game. It's going to be a slaughterhouse.
I think you're going to do better than you expect.
Actually. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the vote of confidence. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. All right. So let's start with how we started making. I think we started making generally to save money because of this one.
Yes, Evan's pointing at me. yeah.
I mean, me too. I liked making. I wanted to make. But I think that. You were the impetus behind the push.
Yeah, which is funny because it slowly turned from the desire to save money to like us spending way more on tools and in some cases more on tools and materials making the thing than we do saving money. But it's you not know, really about
we,
saving
we
money
We are still
anymore.
Saving money. If we wanted this desk right here, the one we're sitting at,
yeah,
with the resin river and the LED lights and the cable storage, that would have been very expensive.
That's
we,
true.
Saved money.
That's
by
true.
Making this, by spending the money. It gets a little bit funky. But yeah. It started out very simple. Like, I think the very first inspiration for our very first project was we were at a wedding expo for a friend's wedding planning. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin saw these love letters.
Yeah, I think we've told the story on the podcast before.
Never mind.
These big, like 2-foot-tall marquee letters, and we wanted to make them mm-hmm. because renting them or buying them was very expensive. So we made them for like $80. Four letters.
And we still have them. We had all of the excuses that everyone might have. Mm-hmm. We had no reason to think we could do it.
Yeah, neither of us. I had never done any woodworking or anything.
Yeah, we didn't have any tools.
No tools.
Like,
we lived.
No tools.
We lived in an apartment.
We had no place to work in our apartment. We actually had a little balcony, like a 2-foot by 4-foot balcony. I'm exaggerating. It was probably bigger than 2-foot by 4-foot.
3-foot by 5-foot. That's probably not an exaggeration.
I could probably lay down. It was maybe 6 feet.
No, you couldn't lay down.
No, yeah. I could. Okay, so 5 feet.
Yeah.
Like 3 by 5? Yeah. Okay. A 3 by 5 balcony.
Smaller
like,
than this desk.
What do people think that you're going to do with that balcony?
I don't know. I think like you put a grill on it, like a tiny, tiny grill. Wait, sometimes that's not allowed. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't even fit 2 folding chairs
no,
on it.
No, not comfortably.
No.
I don't really know what they're intending. They're like, oh, well, you have a balcony.
Yeah. You can
that,
do
that
stuff.
Means we get to charge you a lot more because you have a balcony.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm getting distracted. But that was our very first project. But then we kind of got carried away with wedding projects. The wedding was like the impetus behind like a lot of our tool purchases, a lot of the very first projects that we did.
And I do think that is a scenario that does save you a lot of money because weddings are so freaking expensive.
Yeah.
Everything is an upcharge, so it made a lot of sense for us.
Because everything is one-off. Everything is custom. And one-off and custom
well,
is
expensive.
Well,
it's not just that. Have you heard of wedding tax?
Wedding tax? Oh, yeah, because it's a wedding, they charge you more.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're buying a cake, if it's for a wedding, it's more expensive than if it was just for a birthday.
Yeah, if you say it's for a birthday. Or if you're renting, or if you're getting flowers, say they're for like a retirement party.
Or something.
Don't say it's for a wedding. Anyways.
Oh, that's a nice life hack. Is that a life hack?
I don't know. I was trying to say life pro tip at the same time you said life hack, and I think I said life pro tick with a like at the end because life hack is a k. Anyways.
But you know, we did the love letters, we did the backdrop, we made a chandelier, which we like completely failed at some point. We'll link below to in the description to some of these projects.
Well, we have a whole podcast about DIY fails. So we go into more detail on them. But yeah. I think like...
Yeah, but the way we started out on this path is to save money. Mm-hmm. And that continued into our house. When we bought the house, mm-hmm. the very first thing that we did, like in terms of getting our hands like dirty with the house, is we decided that we needed to fix a leak in the attic. And we decided that we were going to take on a whole plumbing project ourselves and replace a leaky run of galvanized pipe.
Yeah, galvanized
pipe. We decided that we were going to replace galvanized pipe in the attic.
Yeah.
I don't know why we thought we could do that.
Yeah.
We did it.
Again, I don't want to go into too much detail because we talked about all of this in the DIY Fails podcast. But maybe we'll get into some of the, how we recommend people should start.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 That's why I wrote these down. I think that you should start by looking at the project and buy tools around that to accomplish a goal, because then immediately those tools will have been worth it. Instead mm-hmm. of buying tools and then thinking, oh, now that once I have the tools, then the projects will come. I think start with a project and then the tools will be worth it right away.
Yeah. And I think also then you avoid the trap of, not trap, but you avoid the mistake of buying tools that you never use. Mm-hmm. Like for example, it's misleading because you might buy something for a future project that you might have in mind down the line, but really try to stick to buying for what you need for the thing you're going to tackle next. Because for example, when we first bought our house, we got one of those like 10% off coupons from Lowe's.
Yeah.
Long before they sponsored us. We weren't even making content then. And we went to the store and got everything that we thought we might need for the first like 20 projects.
Off. When else are we going to get a 10% off everything?
It's like coupon? Not even that much though.
I know.
And so there's certain things like we have a sledgehammer.
I wanted that sledgehammer. I'm still glad we have it.
We got it because we were like, we're going to like
break up the back patio.
Break up the back patio and install a new patio.
Hey, you know what? I hit it once. I broke off a chunk of it.
You did. You broke off the corner just for fun because you couldn't help yourself. And then we never use that sledgehammer again.
It could come in handy. Zombie apocalypse. You know, it would be great. That never needs sharpening. It never needs
reloading. We actually did... when Harvey hit.
Oh yeah, no, that's for real.
There's a lot of like if you're in a one story house, you don't have a. So Harvey was the flood, the big flood that hit Texas mm-hmm. a couple years ago, and if you didn't have a second story in your house, you only had one story. You know, they're warning people not to go into the attic because people were getting trapped in the attics.
Yeah, because you can't exit the attic. You can't exit the attic.
So
if it keeps on floating up and up and up, you can get trapped in there.
Yeah.
So
we had like a hatchet and a sledgehammer. We gave one of them to our neighbor because they didn't have anything. And we're like, if we have to go into the attic, we can chop through our roof.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's seriously, we had it.
It did make me feel slightly better. Yeah. And now I'm like back to not wanting it anymore.
Is it in the shed?
Yeah, I think it's in the shed.
It's in the shed. So, you know.
Yeah. But I guess like.
Yeah. Don't buy things for a future need. Buy things for a current need. And also, one extra benefit that buying for the now brings is it's also the motivation you need to do the project. Like, because if you need something right now, you're going to do it. Or if you're excited about something, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And
if you buy stuff for future projects that you're not really ready to tackle by the time you get to tackling them, it's like sometimes you might change your mind about what you need.
Yeah.
Or you might be less motivated to tackle them because you bought all the stuff and chose everything a long time ago, and you know you might do it differently. Yeah, you might now. Change. I don't know.
But I don't want to like totally get out of the question of what should you buy to get started by just avoiding it. I'll say these are the most general tools that will be good for almost everything. Okay. Things that we use in almost every single project.
Okay.
Getting a good drill/driver and having like multiple modes so that it can go slow when you're driving and fast when you're drilling. I think that's a good investment right there.
I think that's a good investment.
Because I think everyone.
I'm not looking at your list, and I'm going to see, because you jotted down a few things.
I jotted down a few things.
I'm going to try to guess a few more of them.
Okay.
Okay, circular saw.
I went back and forth between circular saw and jigsaw. What do you think?
I think circular saw.
You think circular saw?
Because I think, so for us, we got a jigsaw first. That was our first, because the first project was the marquee letters, and we were cutting out. Yeah, we needed a curve for an O. We were getting into tight corners and an E and a V and, you know, different letters. And that's what worked for us. But I think most projects, you're just doing straight cuts.
Yeah.
You're not cutting around something intricate like a letter. And so I think a circular saw is more versatile.
It's more versatile.
Because it can also do, you know, you can do rips, you can do cross cuts.
Yep.
So,
you know, you can do both of those on a jigsaw. It's just getting it straight is harder. Imagine,
I mean, you can.
You can if you're patient.
But it's also just not as powerful of a tool.
Yeah, I don't know. Ours is pretty powerful.
I guess so. It just, yeah.
You can go pretty fast if you go for it.
I guess you could make yourself like a guide
Guide. Yeah.
It just seems like a table or like a circular saw makes more sense.
A circular saw, like depending on the project, get a circular saw or a jigsaw. Circular saw is like a higher quality tool, I think.
If you're going to get a jigsaw, you got to get like a nicer one.
Yeah, you got to get a nicer one.
Real
dinky
jigsaws.
Yeah.
And if you want to actually be able, like if you're going to cut down a sheet of plywood with a jigsaw, which just sounds ridiculous, you got to get like
a really good one.
You can get by with a cheaper circular saw.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I think besides those two, I don't think that there's too many like general purpose tools that everybody needs.
I think there's other stuff that you're going to need for every project that's not like a power tool, but like clamps.
Clamps are a good general thing. We use clamps a lot. Yeah.
And again, you can just start by getting ones you need for that project, but they are kind of a general thing that I think you will use.
Now, I think that one good tool for like intro making, now this only really applies if you're making like furniture or things like that, but I think a pocket hole kit is a great like booster to have.
Yeah.
And it gets you like, but if you have a drill driver, a circular saw, and a pocket hole kit, you can build
furniture.
You can build most things. Those three tools.
Not only furniture, but also like things for your house, like built-ins.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah. With those three tools, you can build a ridiculous amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm mainly thinking of woodworking, because woodworking is like a great entry-level skill.
I would say most people getting started with making are probably, if they're like asking what tools to buy, it's probably woodworking tools. It's probably not metalworking.
Yeah. Metalworking, that's like a whole nother level of commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're I mean, we're not pros on anything, but we're even less knowledgeable about metalworking. So.
Yeah, but I think that another thing, I mean, you know, for our YouTube channel, we like building stuff because the transformation, like you want the transformation to be very visible. But I think that there's a lot that you can accomplish too with just like a spray paint can or paint brushes and paint.
Yeah.
Or like lots of other little things like that. That's a great way. Like, you know,
well,
that's still making.
It's interesting because like around the time we started making stuff for the wedding and making stuff for the house, and maybe I've touched on this before. I know it's a thought I've had before, but all the DIY blogs and a lot of the DIY channels were doing more basic stuff like that, like more beginner level stuff. Like you find a thrifted table.
Yep.
You maybe swap out the top, spray paint the legs, and you have a new table.
Boom.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was a lot more like upcycling and things with more limited tools.
But I think also it's like when we were getting into that was kind of right around the recession. So maybe like thrifty ideas were like extra appealing to people.
Yeah, no, totally. So yeah, so those would be like some basic tools to start with. Mm-hmm. And again, I think like clamps, I cheated. I looked at your list accidentally. but getting some basic safety gear.
Safety, yeah, that's super important. Get like protection for your eyes and your ears right away. Get some breathing protection if you're going to be cutting. And like you think, oh, well, I'm just doing one thing. I don't really need breathing protection for this or eye protection. You always need it. I know that we're not the best at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do what we say, not as we do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, always use protection. Moving on. So I think that there's a few like common excuses that, I'm not sure if excuses is the best word. like okay. common reasons why people don't make or think they can't make or reasons they're not making. Okay. And like,
so some of the things we touched on earlier, you know, about our situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
We fit a lot of common excuses in the beginning. Yeah.
So one common excuse is I don't have enough space. We touched on this a little bit earlier. We just started on our balcony, but what if you don't have a balcony, or what if your house is already completely full? What other opportunities might you have? I think taking things outside mm-hmm. is always an option. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a little bit more back and forth, but there's a lot of open space outside.
You can also get really good and like Dexter Killroom it, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like you can hang sheets and section off a certain area of your yeah. apartment. I know like Ben
has done that before. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen other people do it too. So it's a little, again, it's a little bit more of a pain, but you can totally do it.
Yeah. Or if you're living in a bigger city that might have a maker space, you can mm-hmm. like rent out a little cubicle there, and then that's like your maker zone, and you can use their tools, and that's a good way to get around a lot of different excuses.
Yeah, that's also a chance to try out tools if you want to try something before you buy it.
Yeah.
Or if there's a tool where you need it for a project, but maybe it's a really specific thing that you can't foresee needing again,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe you can't justify buying it just for that one use, you can go to a makerspace.
Yep. Don't have enough time. That's one we hear a lot too. And I think that one thing we have kind of realized as we have spent more and more and more of our time doing this business is I think we've kind of reshifted to like realizing that when people say they don't have enough time, it's not a high enough priority, because you can always make time,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, is it a big enough priority? And you know, if the excuse you run into is you don't have enough time, then maybe realizing that it's not a big enough priority and to like stop putting pressure on yourself, and you'll get to it when you get to it, that might help you out some.
Yeah. Or, and also, you know, thinking about it as a matter of priority, not a matter of time, you can look at the things you're spending your time on and see yeah. if maybe one of those things you're just doing out of habit and it's not as high of a priority. Ooh,
you like, know what's scary?
Huh?
When you install that time tracker app on your phone that tracks how much time you spend in each app, and then you realize how much time you spent on Reddit in the past week. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
It adds up.
You think, oh, just like, you'd guess, oh, I spend maybe 20 minutes on Reddit a week.
No.
It's much more than that.
I will say with certain things like Reddit on your phone, there's a difference between like, you know, doing a few 5-minute sessions a day every day, and that adds up to, well, I don't know, a big enough chunk of time to have done a project, but yeah. you couldn't necessarily have, it might not have made sense to try to work on that project on each of those little 5-minute
yeah, it's like if sessions. You're building a table, you can't just like go out into the shop or like,
it doesn't make sense to go out measure one length and then go back to what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I do think there are some things like if you, you know, and there's other ways to like track what you're doing, not just apps on your phone, but you know, you might realize, oh, I'm going to the grocery store 4 times a week because I'm not great at meal planning. And yeah. so then you say, okay, if I change things around and I plan it so that I only have to go to the grocery store 1 time a week, that's a big chunk of time, all those trips back and forth that I could put towards, you know, I could have a couple hours towards making a thing.
Yeah.
So I think looking at it as a matter of priority and know that if it is a high enough priority, you can fit it. And if there's literally nothing from your life that you can move right now, then that means you're focusing on the things that are a higher priority. And maybe in the future, making stuff will be more of a priority.
Yeah.
You know,
one kind of excuse that I think that you should definitely touch on. I know you just did that talking segment, but my voice is still like recovering.
Yeah, I got you.
I haven't finished planning it yet, or it's not perfect yet. Because I think that's something that you struggle with a lot.
Yes. Well, and it's kind of ironic because, like, so when it comes to planning our projects, I think I plan more of the aesthetic stuff and you plan more of the how it's going to functionally go together.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting because, like, a lot of the planning is on you, but I feel like I'm the one that is always holding us up when it comes to the planning.
I think that if you were in charge of like the whole thing, we'd have a hard time starting.
Yeah.
But I think since I'm in charge of like the putting it together, I just like start us and like you're along the ride in a way. And you just kind of have to like start because I'm starting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. But like in the pre-planning phase and I'm trying to get everything perfect. So some things I've done, and this is just me because I'm a very visual person. I use Photoshop and Illustrator and sketching a lot to plan stuff because I need to see proportions. I need to see colors. And that makes me be able to make decisions faster than I would otherwise. I know I'm still really slow, but imagine how much slower it would be if I was just imagining things in my brain. But like, for example, our front door makeover or our closet door makeover or... even this desk, you know, that was a render, not a Photoshop, or a laundry room. So many different projects, I would Photoshop the, so for the door, the color of the front door, the different sconces. I even Photoshopped in like the hardware, little things like that. And being able to see it would help me make a quicker decision. Like, oh, I like that style of lights, but not with our style of house. That actually doesn't look good. Okay, I'll swap it.
You know, it's ironic. I think it's ironic too because I asked you, how do you like just start and pull the trigger and get going on a project? And you're like, well, you plan more.
No. I'm saying this is a way. The Photoshopping trick is a way for me to make the decision making faster. I don't think it's necessarily good advice to say don't plan.
I know, and like all of the projects you talked about were made a lot better because all of the planning that we did. I guess, like, how do you know when it's right to just pull the trigger? Because what if you get stuck in a loop of, like because I think the reason why we go sometimes is I'm kind of sitting there going, and Caitlin's like, all right, we'll go.
Yeah, but I think that's true.
Like, what if you got stuck in a loop of just continually planning? Like, what if you wanted to keep on finding that perfect light or sconce? Or, like, with the desk... The desk would have been a really, really, really hard thing for you because Caitlin wants to make it minimal and clean, but there's a lot of stuff we need to fit into here. So I think you would have just gone in loops for a long time.
So I think what I've done to make myself pull the trigger, even when I do want to keep going in loops and getting it perfect, mm-hmm. is I try to remind myself, like, okay, the reason we're doing this project is, you know, either we don't have a thing and we need a thing, or we have... you know, some old solution that isn't a solution anymore and we need something better, or we have this blank space and we want to put art there. And the thing I do try to remind myself is, like, whatever we do is going to be better than it was.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I might be getting hung up on the angle of the side pieces of the legs on this desk, but then I remind myself, like, our old desk was an IKEA table with a piece of wood clamped to it, you know? And so it's still that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good thing to keep in mind when you're tackling these projects.
Yeah. That definitely helped me with the door because I was like, yeah, no matter what happens, it's going to be better than what it was.
Yeah, it's going to be better than what it was.
Yeah.
And I think also reminding yourself that sometimes the little things that you get hung up on, that's not what people are going to see.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know?
What about, like, when people worry that their idea isn't original enough? Like, I think that that's something that we've struggled with, you know? We're like, for us in particular, since we're making content, it's doubly important, I feel, for us to feel like we're actually contributing something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that especially when you're starting out, you know, it also depends on like what your goals are for making it. You know, if you are just wanting to make a piece of furniture to fulfill a need, there's no need for it to be original. Just go with what already works. You know?
Yeah. I think if you're just making stuff for yourself, it doesn't matter if it's original at all. Like if you see a table you like and you want that table in your house, you just make that exact table.
Just make it. Yeah.
It is harder when you're doing content creation and you want to put your own spin on things, or if you're selling stuff, you know, you can't copy what someone else is doing.
Yeah. But also even like copying something, like things might get messed up. It might end up a little bit different and you might end up with something unique. Or if you're copying something, it's probably because you're not familiar enough with the thing that you're making to fully understand it and come up with your own ideas. So copying someone else's work, you know, credit them, of course, but copying someone else's design, that's a great way to learn. That's a great way to build up confidence. And then the next one that you make might be more unique.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, because sometimes it's hard to come up with a unique design and a plan of how to make the thing if you are just getting started and you haven't come up with designs before and you haven't come up with plans to make the things or made things at all. So when you're, if you can eliminate some of those barriers and say like, okay, well, I don't need to come up with the design or the how, you know, steps to go through because I saw this person do it on YouTube. So I'm going to use their design. I'm going to use their steps and I'll just get more familiar with the tools, you know? Yeah. So I think that's definitely a good point in the beginning. Take less pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Take less, put less pressure on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what about the excuse of, I don't know how?
Oh, well, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
You can learn anything on YouTube.
But it is surprising continually to see like how much people are capable of that they don't know. I mean, we were at Spring Make the other day, and I saw Crafts with Ellen making a amazing metal and wood stool. And I was
with
wow.
angled mortises
with
and
angled
stuff.
Mortises and stuff. And I was
just to give you like, you know, she does like some really awesome sewing projects and things like that. But I think this was her first woodworking project.
Like, I just like thought that she was like, you know, she had done woodworking before and she just hadn't shown it on her social media. And she just knocked out this amazing design, her first try. And I'm like, that just goes to like, you know, one, she's pretty badass. But also it just shows you that you're capable of more than you might think if you just put yourself out there and put yourself in a situation where you kind of have to make it work.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say like some tools are scarier than others.
Some tools are scarier than others.
Like a table
saw. Agree.
I still like table saws still make me nervous.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what, for dangerous tools, oftentimes in my I think it really, really helps to be with someone who understands it and use it with them and get kind of like some guidance from them. So, you know, again, a local makerspace might be great. Or
if you have like a friend or
a
family
friend
member.
Or family member that understands that. Yeah, reach out, learn from people who have that experience. Mm-hmm. And once you've seen them do it and, you know, they've coached you through it in person, it helps so much.
There's also things like, you know, if you're getting wood at like Lowe's or Home Depot or like a hardware store, they can cut things down for you, you know, so you can eliminate some of that, you know, some of that tool usage and get
you
it
can,
done.
You can change your design to simplify it enough so that you don't have to do much to it.
That's true. We still do that. Like if we can, if we're designing something, we're going to design it using dimensional lumber that we don't have to do any rips on. Like it's going to be 11.5 inches wide because that's what a 1x12 is.
Yep.
You know?
And that's, we designed our entire entryway table around
dimensional lumber.
Dimensional lumber, you know? And like Chris says,
which is ironic because then we ended up getting walnut that still had to be ripped down, but still.
But still. I mean, the design intent was there.
Yeah.
And I think that one thing that Chris Salamone from Four Eyes Furniture says a lot is measurements aren't as important as consistency. So if you make both legs the same length, like you cut them at the same time, then you don't need to worry about accuracy as much.
Yeah.
Because they're the same and it's going to be level.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're 27.25 tall versus 27 1/8 tall if they're both the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are some good tricks to kind of like hack the system.
Yes. So hacksaws right now. I'm typing because I'm a hacksaw. Man, I look so much taller than you sometimes, which is weird because our chairs are at the same height and
I'm slouching.
Straight.
Yeah.
I know, but sorry for people listening.
There I go.
There, look how proper you look.
I'm so proper.
So proper.
All right, what other common excuses do you think people have? And how can we help them?
So one is losing steam on a project.
Have we ever done that?
Well, we've abandoned a couple projects, but more because we didn't think they'd make good videos.
Yeah.
I can really only think of like one, but more because that we didn't think they made good videos, not because like we couldn't do the project.
Yeah.
But I mean, if someone listening is wanting to do content too, that's something to keep in mind.
Something to keep in mind. Yeah.
But yeah, losing steam on a project, sometimes it happens because you hit a wall and there's like some kind of snag that you can't figure out how to solve it. Sometimes it's because it's just taking too long and you're losing enthusiasm.
You know what? One thing that actually helps a ton with this, having a social media presence and like putting out there that you're doing something. And then the community kind of holds you a little bit accountable because they want to see how it turns out.
Yeah. Well, and also it's great because if you hit a snag, you can reach out to the community. Like we're hitting so many snags with Smooth On.
Oh, yeah. Silicone. Yeah. Oh, with the coasters?
Yeah, with the coasters. And we reached out, you know, on Instagram with some stories, and we got so many, many suggestions.
Yeah.
And it was so much better after that.
Yeah.
But like it's a great resource and it holds you accountable. I think also, if you're hitting a wall because things are taking more time than you expected, I think it's easy to look at YouTube and everything is sped up, you know, 10 times speed, and all the like fat is trimmed from the video and you're just seeing the cuts, but you're not seeing all the time it took to set up and measure, you know, the hour of measuring all of your stuff before you even started cutting.
Yeah. And I know that like some people also might find it frustrating that they watch a video and it's perfect and everything works great. And then they try it and it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
And that might be due to a lot of things. It could be because the person that you're watching has done it 300 times and they're very experienced at it and they know all the nuances and you don't yet.
Or it could be that they made a mistake and they just didn't include it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also very common. We know it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's one reason why we try to include our mistakes. But even us, like, there's some mistakes that we don't include, you know? So even the people that show their mistakes, and I feel like we at least have one major mistake, often more than that in every video. But sometimes even us will cut something little because it's like, oh, well, we measured a thing wrong and maybe it was entertaining the first time, but then we measured something wrong again and it's not entertaining to show it the second time or whatever. So like, Even our channel doesn't show all, like, every single mistake.
Just because when it messes up the flow, it's more for, like, the sake of the video flow than anything else.
Well, I would say it's part for the sake of the video flow. Oh, you mean eliminating it?
Eliminating it,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we weren't worried about the flow of the video, we would just include all of it. But, and oftentimes we'll talk about it, like, in the after shows.
Yeah.
All the mistakes, you know, mistakes that didn't make it to the video. But just know that everyone is making mistakes. All the time.
Yeah. I think that when I was younger, I always assumed that adults knew what they were doing. And then when I realized that I'm an adult now and I'm like, oh, no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of freeing and worrying at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's it. After all of that, you have no more excuses. So you should start making if you want to. And if you don't want to, then that's totally fine also.
Yeah.
All right. You know what time it is, Caitlin?
Game time.
That's a great dance right there.
That's the length of our song.
Oh, wow.
I know it in my head.
I don't.
Really? You edit the podcast.
I have a horrible memory.
Okay. Let me pull up my document.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, Caitlin has challenged me to... my knowledge of Pinterest.
Pinterest. You're off to a great start.
All of you guys know what Pinterest is, but what you guys might not know is they put out like quarterly and yearly guides about content and trends and all sorts of different things.
I'll present it because one of us did the research and one of us did not do the research. They put out every year a Pinterest trends list based on what was searched on Pinterest.
And I know that because I've heard about it on the Young House Love podcast.
Yes, Young House Love. We've mentioned their podcast before. They do occasional gaming segments, and they did a similar one where they compared current year trends to last year trends.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something similar with you because I think this is going to be funny. It's not, I didn't structure it to where it's always current year versus last year.
Oh, okay.
But you just have to guess which... there's going to be different categories, and I'm going to tell you two trends.
Okay.
And then you have to guess which is a true trend and which trend I made up.
Well, what if I'm a trend setter, and the community just hasn't realized that the trend I chose is correct?
Well, that doesn't count because it's not being searched. Okay, you're going to have to not look at my list.
Okay, I will look...
At the camera.
I was going to look off into the distance, but you guys are right here. So I'm going to look at you. If my eyes glance away, you'll know I'm cheating.
Yeah, you can call them out on it. That's creepy. Please don't stare at them. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to start with the hobbies category.
All right.
So this is, well, it's hobbies. It's pretty broad. but some of it is kind of related to some stuff we do. So which do you think was a trending search? Early retirement or hustles at home? In side hustles.
Oh, come on. It has to be hustles because of all the hashtag hustle life, hashtag hustle forever. This is 2019. The hustle's still real.
When was it trending?
Oh, it was trending a little bit earlier. But retirement life?
No, early retirement.
Early retirement. Oh, early retirement. Everyone wants to retire early.
And everyone wants a side hustle. Well, I don't know why this is in the hobbies category. Related. But I think it was like...
Well, hustling can be a hobby when you're still hustling.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess like the things you do, it's kind of related because planning for early retirement is like...
Something that everyone, yeah.
But it's a lot of the same things that people do for side hustles. It's like, oh, I'm going to flip houses.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Early retirement versus hustle life. I'm going to say hustle life.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You tried to throw me off.
I did. With like the I tried year. Real hard.
I almost flipped at that moment. I almost flipped.
Because I feel like it was like, maybe we just saw this more because 2017 is when we started our channel. Like 2016 was when we were doing the products. I thought it was more around then when it was like, oh, hashtag boss babe.
Yeah.
Hashtag hustle life. Hashtag like coffee and repeat, you know?
Hashtag coffee. I meant to say hashtag. Hashtag. But like mush come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But so, now I want coffee.
So hustles at home, that search term. Yeah. Which is very specific, was up 690%.
690%? That's a lot of percent.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of people. And you know, I always feel like we're kind of biased because we're like, yeah, do a side hustle. Because, like, you know, we had a side hustle that turned into a main hustle and then side hustles on top of the side hustle. And
yep.
Like, we're always telling people, like, oh, yeah, you should totally do that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that it actually is like, people are searching for it more and wanting that more.
That's really interesting.
Okay. Another. Which of these search terms was trending? Acrylic pour painting.
Oh.
Or soap making.
Okay. Soap making, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the more trending thing is like soap, like when they destroy soap with knives.
The soap cutting.
And they do like the ASMR type stuff.
But maybe I feel like
that's
people,
more trendy.
But people wouldn't search for that on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Pinterest, you search for inspiration and like how to's.
Okay, what was the other one?
Which one?
Besides soap?
Acrylic pour painting.
Acrylic pour. You know, acrylic pour is so hot right now. So hot. I mean,
Hansel, so hot right now.
I'm leaning towards acrylic pours just because I'm biased towards acrylic pours because acrylic pours are awesome.
Yeah, it's acrylic pours.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'd throw you off because of the soap cutting thing.
Yeah,
because at first I was going to write slime, and then I was like, no, slime is so 2018.
It's so 2017, maybe.
So 2017, and I was like, what's the new thing? Soap cutting. Yeah, I tried. Yeah,
I'm pretty good at this. You're trying to continually throw me off.
I know, I am. But I told you that I thought you'd be better than you expected. So I'm still right, even though you're winning.
You are still right.
Yeah. Search terms for acrylic pour painting up 660%.
Wow. We should do more acrylic pour paintings.
I know. I would totally be down to do more.
Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, sweet.
Okay, this is the next one, still in the hobbies category, camper remodel or boat building.
Oh, camper remodel is so trendy right now. It's so hot right now. I'm going to make that joke every single time. I am sorry. Boat making?
Boat building or camper remodel?
Ah, I think camper remodel.
You're wrong.
What? No! No!
I know, right?
Boat?
Okay, so I will say camper remodel was trending in 2018.
Oh, no.
933% up in 2018.
Yeah.
But this year, boat building
what
has seen an increase of 169%.
Whoa.
In search terms. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Boat building. Yeah.
I know some people who build boats. Maybe Jimmy? We should build boats.
Jimmy Dresta? Oh, that's the only person I know.
You know what? We do have plans to make a boat.
We do.
We do.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's
a silly boat.
We got to do it this summer.
We got to do
it. It's summertime. We always forget. And then it's cold.
We even have a partner that would be a great mishmash
for. Which partner?
Gorilla.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we're doing it. Okay,
we're doing it.
Okay.
We're doing it.
You guys,
we're
make sure it. We do our boat project. Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
we've been wanting to do this for
like
a
whole year.
It's
a silly boat.
It's a silly boat. Okay. It's a competition, too. I'm going to make a boat, and you're going to make a boat, because I have different ideas about boat building as opposed to you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm excited. Okay. Yep. That, and see, we're on trend. Everyone's going to be searching boat building. Yep, then they'll see our video and be very confused.
Very confused.
Okay, we're going to go to a new category now.
All right.
Travel.
Mm.
Okay, so which travel term has been searched more in 2019?
Hashtag hustle life.
That's not a travel term. desert escapes or abandoned castles?
Ooh. Abandoned castles are classic.
Is it classic, though?
I think so, right? Castles, everyone's kind of interested in castles.
I feel like people like things like famous landmark castles. But
famous landmark castles.
Abandoned castles.
Oh, abandoned castles. That's very particular.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
So abandoned castles and desert escapes.
Desert escapes, I think, is the winner. Ding, ding.
Nope.
Oh, man. You got me. You're tricky.
So it was one in 2018.
Oh, I'm a year behind trend.
Yeah, it was 125%. But I feel like that's still kind of trendy. I feel like you're still seeing a lot of people doing deserts instead of beaches.
Yeah.
You know, like camelback photos and things like that. But yeah, abandoned castles, which is interesting. Like, and so it goes into more details for things. So this one was called Game of Stones. Travelers are skipping the lines at Versailles and seeking out dilapidated castles.
Oh, because of the Game of Thrones trend, maybe?
I don't know. I think they were just trying to make a pun. But it's essentially like literally abandoned castles.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, not famous ones.
How many abandoned castles are there?
Probably more than we think.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool. Like, I would love... I like abandoned buildings.
You'd like to explore abandoned castle at night. That's what you want to do.
Yes. Yes, I would. With no one... Well, I was going to say with no one else. I mean, you, of course, but not like with a tour.
No, guided.
Just... I just want to trespass.
Yeah.
And
just... you know, it'd be extra good, extra bonus points if there is an abandoned like graveyard there too.
Oh my God. There probably would be bodies buried there.
Caitlin's a little creepy person.
I am a little creepy person. In college, there is an insane asylum. Do you know about the insane asylum?
Yeah.
The abandoned one downtown?
Yeah, there's a person that lives there and shoots people.
Oh, really? I had some friends that went, and I was so upset that I didn't go. I didn't know they were going that night.
Oh, man.
It was like it wasn't like a planned thing. It was just like a spur of the moment. And I was so sad because I really wanted to go to that abandoned insane asylum. But of course, like the rule follower in me was not really comfortable with trespassing. So I probably wouldn't have done it even if I had known. But like, I want to.
Deep inside.
Yes, I do. I just want to do like ghost hunting. I used to love all those like ghost hunter
shows. Let's do it sometime.
Let's do it. Get my little like EVP machine.
Yeah. Evan and Caitlin try ghost hunting.
I would love to do that.
Like Evan and Caitlin try to make contact with ghosts. It's still making.
That's still making.
It's still making.
We can make our own EVP.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that would be super fun. Okay.
You know, I came up with an idea of something to prank you with, but I'm not going
to
say
it. You're not supposed to tell me. It's just like the prank. Well, everyone listening hasn't seen that video. I won't mention it. Evan tries to prank me in the next video.
Get excited. I'm a prankster.
You're a prankster. You're
on the loose.
Okay. I'm going to do the next one. So again, this is in the travel category. Which search term is trending in 2019? Surprise destination or 24-hour travel?
24-hour travel is probably just like quick trips. Like you like go there and pop back. I'm leaning towards 24-hour travel just because with all the hashtag hustle and busy life and like everyone glorifying being busy all the time, like 24-hour travel sounds like on trend. Or maybe it's a year old. I don't know.
It's a year old.
Oh, man.
But it totally makes sense. I actually don't really get the surprise destination. Okay, so
surprise destination. Does that mean that like someone else plans a trip for you and you just show up there?
Sort of. So it's like with a group.
Okay.
And you tell everyone to clear their calendars and one person plans it and everyone else just shows up.
that sounds like it could go well or it could go bad.
Right.
Like you need like, well, what type of things do I wear? What do I need to prepare for?
Yeah.
Do I need like to get scuba certified before I go there? Like, should I like pack my scuba card?
Do I need layers?
Do I need layers? Do like, you know,
do I need new hiking boots?
Yeah. There's a lot of things.
Yeah. I feel like you would maybe have to pick like a category of trip.
Yeah. Like we're going to a beach and it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
So prepare for that.
And then you could surprise them with which beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that that's a lot of responsibility on one person. Does that person get their trip paid for by the rest of the group for doing the planning for them? Because they should.
But like at the same time, what if it sucks? Then everyone's upset at that one person and their friendship is ruined.
That's ruined.
You know what? That'd be better doing a 24-hour travel trip, surprise destination. Then it's not that much of a like commitment. Mm. You know, combine the two.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see that. So surprise destination, that was only up 192%. So we'll see. Okay. New category, health and wellness.
Mm.
Okay. So the search term, is it ginger oil or macadamia milk?
I don't even know what macadamia milk is. I mean, it's milk from a macadamia nut, I guess, you know, but also the whole thing about like, milk from nuts still concerns me.
Like, because it's called milk?
Yeah,
because
it's like, couldn't they call it like...
juice? Would that be better?
Thickened nut milk.
That's worse.
Never mind. I hear it now, and I go back. It's milk. Moving on. So it's not the nuts. I just had to move away from the nuts. What's the other one?
Ginger oil or macadamia milk?
It's ginger oil because we just got to get away from those nuts.
It is ginger oil.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it deep down in my nuts.
Yeah.
Not that I have a podcast. My macadamia nuts. I have them right here. They're just off screen.
Oh, man. Yes, ginger oil, 659%.
What does ginger oil do?
I don't know. Well, I know ginger is, like, good for your stomach.
Yeah.
Like, if you have stomach issues.
So is it just, like, the ginger, like, root with, like the oil extracted out?
I guess so. I didn't think it had oil in it. Maybe it's, like, oil infused with ginger?
I don't know.
I don't really know. It doesn't say. It just says... People are embracing their inner ginge and using the soothing oil for baths, massages, and even condiments.
I already hate the word ginge. I hate it.
Yeah. They're not great at these descriptions. They're why like would slightly you do that, cringy. Just,
why would you do that?
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting. I mean, I like ginger. I like ginger tea. Also, I made up macadamia milk. I just picked another nut that I hadn't heard the milk of before.
You could have gone with any of them, but you had to go with macadamia.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do like almond milk. That's boring now.
Oh.
I needed it to be something like, ooh,
maybe it was like doing a resurgence.
No.
No.
You need a new exciting nut milk. Macadamia.
Macadamia it is. All right.
It's from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Fancy.
See?
Fancy.
Okay. Another one. Which of these terms is trending? Jazzercise or band workouts?
Band workouts.
Like a flexible band.
Okay, I was like it's like a marching band? Like, you just go march in the sun with a big heavy tuba, and no, that's
like,
the workout.
Like the stretchy bands. So stretchy band workouts or jazzercise?
I think bands aren't the answer because that's more for physical therapy and stuff, and I just haven't seen that.
But well, this jazzercise, is health and wellness.
But jazzercise is like... something that I could see making a resurgence because jazzercise was popular like way back when, you know,
like the 90s and 80s,
and like stuff like that. That's been so far removed coming back in. You know what? What is that dance competition, that YouTube video I showed you?
Oh, it was like the Crystal Light, like aerobics dance.
Yeah, there was like an aerobics dance or something.
It was
like
Crystal
that.
Light sponsored aerobics dance. Oh,
I think it's jazzercise.
You're wrong.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I threw that in there because I knew that would be your logic, especially after we watched the Crystal Light, the aerobic dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But band workouts, 1,913%.
What?
Yeah.
I used to work out with bands. All was before my time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I injured my shoulder and I needed to do physical therapy.
Apparently because it's like an indoor exercise. Like indoor exercises are
Oh, and trendy. You can do it in your office? You just close your office door?
Yeah. I mean, you could do jazzercise in your office too.
Well, with your Bluetooth headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I like it. Yeah.
I like it. I would like to see the resurgence of Jazzercise.
We should do it. We should do our own Jazzercise video.
Evan and Caitlin make a Jazzercise video.
We just That's our excuse make. For everything. We have the word make in there, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
But not really.
But maybe. Okay. So the next one is parties. I only did one for this category.
Because we're such party animals, we only need one.
Such party animals. It's kind of like party / event kind of celebration type
things. Yeah.
One is godparent proposals.
What?
The other is new pet gender reveals.
What? I don't like either of those.
Do they both make you uncomfortable?
They both seem a little bit...
extra?
Extra. I think... Okay, this is the dog gender or the pet gender reveal seems like quite extra. But like the godparent proposal thing just seems like you're taking something that should be genuine and making it into something that like I mean you could I not that proposals are ingenuine. It just seems like
it's like the promposal taking over further.
Yeah, it's like spreading up something unnecessary. It's like it should just be like a genuine conversation you have, not like a big thing.
Like a flash dance?
Yeah. A flash dance proposal to be a godparent. Something. I don't know. I think that the thing that's more likely is the pet thing. The pet gender reveal.
Nope.
What?
Godparent proposals.
What's going on?
They're up 152%. The new pet gender reveals, that actually is a thing I heard of. I was listening to some podcast and someone had done they had like adopted a puppy or something.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of their friends and family had been asking about the dog and this and that. And so to introduce the dog to their new friends and family, they had like a fake gender reveal party for the dog. But then apparently they got a ton of hate on Facebook. Reddit's where I read this.
Oh, yeah.
They got a ton of hate on Facebook because they were like, if you're doing a gender reveal for your dog, then you're like only acknowledging binary genders.
Oh.
Which, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a gender reveal for a dog. Like, it's obviously like a silly thing. Yeah. And everyone in the comments was like, yeah, people are just getting upset just to be upset. It's like maybe gender reveals as a whole is something that, you know, could be rethought.
Yeah.
But like if someone's doing like a joking gender reveal for their dog, it's like, okay, there's no one's trying to hurt any feelings. Yeah, you like, know?
But you know, okay, so
it is a thing.
But also I'm going back on my initial impressions of both. Mm-hmm. You know what? Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
That's the most important. Do what makes you happy, be considerate of others, and that's all we need to worry about.
Yeah, like you know? If you want to do a gender reveal of your dog,
you do a gender reveal of your dog.
If you want to have a flash dance to propose to your godparents.
Yeah. Go for it. You know what? Dance. I think that people finding joy in life is beautiful no matter what.
Maybe it's a good thing that there's more and more possibly seemingly silly celebrations about things that people didn't make big deals about before. But it's like,
well, you know,
having like, oh, well, Wednesdays are date nights.
Yeah.
And so now Wednesdays are fun.
Yeah.
You know, and like you make it a thing.
Or like it makes the like event last longer in your memory because it's a bigger thing. You're making like you're taking time to acknowledge someone or something.
I still wouldn't have expected godparent proposals though. That one I was like, wow. I didn't expect that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah. Okay. So how much time do we have? I can just do a couple more and save the rest.
Yeah, do a couple more.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This is fun. This is a good game. Good game. Good game.
Thank you. Okay. So I'll do a couple home ones.
Okay.
Okay. So which was a more of a search term? Upscale vinyl tiles or painted floor tiles?
Upscale vinyl tiles is my initial like gut response. Only because. That? I've seen them with like renovations of RVs.
I've seen them in houses sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Like for like budget makeovers.
Mm, yeah.
Because there's a lot nicer vinyl. Ones now.
Or painted tile?
Painted floor tiles.
That seems like a bad idea. I don't know. Paint never ends up perfect. And for floors, you'd want them to be pretty good, right? I think vinyl.
You're wrong.
Oh, gosh, I'm so bad at this. I started off so strong.
I know. Painted floor tiles by 1,276%.
What? Oh, you mean like professionally painted?
No, not necessarily. No.
No, like paint your own tiles?
Like paint your own tiles. So, yeah, here's the description. No paint, no gain. Don't tear up that tile. People are painting their parquet floors with bold colors and mosaic patterns.
So they're painting wooden tile floors.
I think
parquet is wood, right?
Parquet is wood, but it still says painted floor tiles, so I think they're just using that as an example.
Hmm.
There are paints that are meant for tiles. I've seen them used more in like backsplashes.
Uh-huh.
Like if you have if you're somewhere where the tile's in good shape, but maybe it's like a 50s, you know, baby pink bathroom.
Yeah.
I've seen where people will paint it white. And there's tiles meant for, or paint meant for tiles.
So like super high gloss?
Yeah, it's like hardcore. The same way, like, I think there's even paint for redoing like a bathtub.
Oh.
I don't know if it's the same kind of stuff because that it has to be even
Seems like
more.
A big pain in the butt.
A big paint in the butt?
Mm-hmm.
I should write for Pinterest.
You should.
No paint, no gain. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because that would be a huge thing. In the same way, like painting your walls makes such a big difference mm-hmm. in a room. If you could paint your floors
yeah.
or just paint like your backsplash or whatever, yeah. that could be a huge difference and so much cheaper and so much easier.
So paint like a path from your bed to your bathroom and glow-in-the-dark paint.
Yeah.
So you never have to turn on your phone.
Yeah.
And then you just have a guided path.
You know what? When we were doing research for the Ethernet installation, like infomercial at the beginning, we were looking at a bunch of infomercials.
Oh, yeah.
And one, I was like, okay, this is kind of a good
idea. Okay, yeah.
It's these slippers that you put on, and when it registers your, like when it senses your weight in the slippers, there's a tiny little light at the toe of each slipper that lights your way. And I was like, okay, that's kind of genius.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like,
until it breaks.
Well, yeah, and then.
Until you have to clean it.
Clean it? What do you mean clean it?
Clean your slippers. Do you just wear your slippers forever and never clean them? Like put them in the wash?
Well, maybe you can take the light out.
Probably, yeah.
Probably removable.
Still, I think it's opening it up to failure points. But still, I mean, like having those as your like nighttime slippers for like walking to the restroom.
Yeah. You wouldn't wear them during the day. They're nighttime use only.
Yeah. Nighttime use only.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a good place to end it? Or should we do one more?
I think it's a good time. We'll save because I'm about halfway through what I prepared.
Ah, nice.
So I'll save the rest for another time if you guys like this game. I thought it was pretty fun.
I am pretty excited to play it again.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to our outline.
Yeah. Is it time for our thing of the week?
It's time for the thing of the week. Yeah. All right. My thing of the week is our gaming channel, and in particular, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. It's the latest video we've published over there. It's so much fun, and I just want to play it again because it's so accurate.
Maybe we'll play it this weekend.
Yeah. So
because it's so accurate.
Because it's so accurate. It's not really accurate at all. It's like a physics-based simulation of like battles happening and everything.
It's very floppy. Everyone has googly eyes. It's very frustrating sometimes because it's you can't control it, so you just set up this battle and then say go and you see what happens.
But I love it.
It's really good.
We want to start recreating like historical battles or battles from like TV shows or movies in it.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's my obsession.
Yeah, that would be super fun. It's a fun game. My thing of the week is a silent mouse. Here, listen. Wait, let me do it. Stop, give it to me. Listen. Do you hear that? No, you don't. I'm clicking it. Wait, let me put it to the mic. You might barely hear it.
Barely.
It's so quiet. I don't, like.
But also it's satisfying. It's satisfying to click. It still feels clicky. You can feel the click in your finger.
You still feel the click, but it's quiet. And there's something about it that just like feels, I don't know, calming? I know it's weird to say
it's
about
like
a mouse.
High end. It's also
feels
high
very
end.
High end.
Yeah.
And it's not that expensive of a mouse or anything. I mean, we'll put a link to it in the notes, but it's, I don't know. It just feels really nice.
And it works on like a lot of different surfaces. It's a good mouse too. It's Logitech, but it's, I don't know. It's we originally got it for our gaming.
Yeah, because we would be clicking and we didn't want it to pick up the sound of our clicks. But now I have one at my desk and it's just like really nice. Like, not, you don't really think about it until you try it, but not having that click constantly in your ear is really nice.
Yes, $18. Not bad at all.
That's not that bad for like a wireless mouse.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us on this week's podcast. Thank you again for everyone who's left a review on our podcast. It makes us happy and glowing on the inside.
Thank you for subscribing to the podcast YouTube channel and leaving comments there. It's always fun to read. And people write like a lot.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, there's some good discussions going on over there.
Yeah.
And make sure to tell your mom about this podcast.
Specifically just your mom?
Or your friend.
Not your dad. No love for dads.
Dads are next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.